good. We are glad you're here. We're going to be in, let's turn to Luke chapter 3, and we'll just dive right in. It's nice to have Brother Ramsey here from Georgia. Drove all the way from Georgia just to go to our church. Not quite, but anyway, he's here, and it's refreshing to talk to him. He's had, of course, some physical problems since he was just a baby, but happy in the Lord and letting God use him. And so, Luke 3, I want to talk about lessons in the lineage. Lessons in the lineage or in the genealogy of Christ. Luke chapter 3. I'm going to do what you don't like doing and what you think is, why, what a waste of time. I'm going to read lineage. And so-and-so begat so-and-so. And we're going to read that a little bit there. And I don't know which one I wanted to read because we're going to go back and forth with both of them. But I just picked one in Luke. Luke is a longer one, so I'll just make it a little harder on you just because I love you. And Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, and Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm going to go right passage here. Let's see, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which is a son of Heli, which is a son of Mathat, which is a son of Levi, which is a son of Melchi, which is a son of Jana, which is the son of Joseph, which is a son of Mattathias, which is a son of Amos, which is a son of Nahum, which is a son of Esli, which is a son of Nagi, which is a son of Maath, which is the son of Mattathias, which is a son of Semei, which is a son of Joseph, which is a son of Judah, which is the son of Joanna, which is the son of Resha, which is the son of Zorobabel, which is the son of Salathiel, which is the son of Neri, which is the son of Melchi, which is the son of Adai, which is the son of Kosam, which is the son of Elmodam, which is the son of Ur. I like that name best so far. Which is the son of Josi, which is the son of Eleazar, which is the son of Joram, which is the son of Mathat, which is the son of Levi, which is the son of Simeon, which is the son of Judah, which is the son of Joseph, which is the son of Jonan, which is the son of Eliakim, which is the son of Mila, which is the son of Menan, which is the son of Mattatha, which is the son of Nathan, which is the son of David, which is the son of Jesse, which is the son of Obed, which is the son of Boaz, which is the son of Salmon, which is the son of Naasson, which is the son of Aminadab, which is the son of Aram, which is the son of Esrom, which is the son of Perez, which is the son of Judah, which is the son of Jacob, which is the son of Isaac, which is the son of Abraham, which is the son of Thera, which is the son of Nahor, which is the son of Suruk, which is the son of Regu, which is the son of Phalek, which is the son of Heber, which is the son of Selah, which is the son of Canaan, which is the son of Arphaxad, which is the son of Sem, which is the son of Noah, which is the son of Lamech, which is the son of Methuselah, which is the son of Enoch, which is the son of Jared, which is the son of Maliel, which is the son of Canaan, which is the son of Enos, which is the son of Seth, which is the son of Adam, which is the son of God. There we go. By the way, you don't get your name on the Bible reading chart if you don't read that stuff. It's part of the Bible, and God has it for a reason. All right, we're going to look into this. We got two lines, if you'll go back to Matthew chapter 1. There's two lineages in the Bible of Christ, Matthew 1, Luke 3. What are the two lineages? Matthew just starts with it. Boom. And the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Don't worry, I'm not going to read it all. But he starts at a different point there, and these are all things we'll talk about a little bit. But Matthew has a list, and one of the important things to note is these lists are significantly different, okay? Now, that the differences are many. First of all, Matthew starts at Abraham and goes to Jesus. Luke starts at Jesus and goes to Adam. That's already a big difference. One, they go different directions, okay? One goes from Jesus backward, one goes from Jesus forward. Also, the book of Matthew does not go between Adam and Abraham. Okay? Book of Matthew also kind of hits high points of different people in his lineage. It doesn't go to every single person. Luke, we're not sure, but Matthew, we know, it just kind of goes from well-known to well-known in most cases of people. And it just kind of, this is generally a tree. You can follow it down. This is who it goes to. But there are people that are left out. And again, it's one person in the family. Now, people who don't believe the Bible say that this is one of their favorite proofs, is saying, listen, the books of Matthew and the book of Luke, their lineages don't even match. Of course there's errors in the Bible. Of course the Bible can't be inspired. Why would you have two different lineages that don't even match? I contend if you study them, and like with everything of people who doubt the Bible, whenever I talk to them, it's always so funny because they're completely ignorant of the Bible. They read something somewhere, and they don't know the Bible well enough. The Bible says they're willingly ignorant. The Bible is such an amazing book that Jesus said, I'm going to tell this in parables so you won't understand it, because I want them to not understand it, because they're blind on purpose, and you know what? They're going to go ahead and not understand it. It's given to you to know the kingdom of God. The scripture is a spiritually discerned book, and what you find as you dig into it, you find that not only is the question answered and their question's dumb, but it proves the Bible. And it makes it seem more profound and more deep. And the lineages are amazing. They aren't contradictory as they think. They're actually teaching us a bunch of spiritual lessons, and they're going from totally different angles. People say, one of the things, and I remember just somebody who was a mocker just saying to me, says, you know, it's obviously the book of Mark is written first, and the other three gospels are copied from Mark. I said, you got to be kidding me. Oh, no, that's obvious. You're all just a copy of Mark. I said, they're nothing the same. They're completely different. And as you study that more, this is to show how the Bible gets deeper. As you study it, you find they're showing four different portraits of Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you find out those four different portraits are the same portraits in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 8, where it shows the four beasts that have an image of Jesus. The eagle and the man's face and the oxen's face and I think the calf's face. And it shows those four different sides of Jesus, and they go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They fit it perfectly. And you start seeing the depth of the scriptures. Of course, John, the book of John, is 80% unique. It's not in the other three gospels. Matthew was written for a Jewish person to understand that he's the Messiah. Mark was written primarily to Romans. Luke is written primarily to Greeks and Gentiles. John's written mostly to Christians. They're all completely different. And you see the lineage, it's different. In Matthew, there's 41 names. In Luke, there's 76 names. Okay? Part of that's because of where they go to. They are the same, basically, from Abraham to David. And then a whole bunch of difference comes. Okay, part of the difference is if you were paying real close attention, you might not have been, but if you were, you saw a bunch of somewhat familiar names, but they weren't exactly the same name you knew. Noah is spelled a little differently. There's a bunch of names that are translated a little bit differently through the languages, and so in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, they come out one way. In the Greek in the New Testament, they come out a different way. When you translate, I'm going to get bogged down here, but they transliterate names. They just send the letters across the English. When you do that from Hebrew, it comes across different. You do it from English, it comes across different. I told you about how when I go to many countries, when I go to Mexico, I am not Joel. It doesn't work in Spanish. They don't say ja. And for some reason, I still don't know why. It doesn't matter if I'm in the Philippines or Haiti or Mexico or whatever. They can't say Joel in one syllable. It has to be two. Joel or Joel. And that's what it comes out as. And so the names, although it might look like a different person, it's you can see the similarities. You can see it's the same person. It's kind of the same spot in the lineage, and it's just a little different spelling, and that's very common there. And we'll show you some of those a little bit later. The same from Abraham to David. And then from there, they both go different ways. They both hit highlights. Luke probably doesn't show everybody. It doesn't look like it, just lineage gaps in there, but they don't have to. You know what family it's from. And so people wouldn't be familiar with some of the people in between. Now, let me just give you some points here and just show you some things about these lineages that are important. Number one, they are showing the complete picture of Jesus. They are showing the complete picture of Jesus. So, Matthew is written to Jews. It shows it shows his father's direct line to David. That's what they're trying to do in Matthew. Because the Jewish person has to have Old Testament prophecies fulfill New Testament. If you read Matthew, everywhere in Matthew, you'll see this phrase, that the scripture might be fulfilled. If you read Matthew 27, you're going to see it about 15 times because they'll quote the Old Testament scripture. That they, it might be that they parted my clothes out of, they parted my clothes and distributed them among them. They cast lots for my clothes. That it was sold for 30 pieces of silver. That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. And then it says Zechariah or Joel or Isaiah. And then it continues that when he's crucified, when his nails to his hands and feet, when he looked upon my bones. And it just goes on and on and keeps on saying that it might be fulfilled, which is written in the scripture. Matthew was a Jewish man writing to the Jews saying, hey, I'm proving to you that Jesus is the Son of God. So his line of Christ is emphasizing that, look, he's the son of David. He comes from David, and he comes from there, and it's written there to show that. Luke is totally different. Luke, it looks like, from things in 1 Timothy, Luke was a Gentile. The book of Luke was certainly written to Gentiles. It's written to a man named Theophilus. Theo is the name for God in Greek. Theophilus is a Greek name, a Gentile believer. It was written to him, and the whole emphasis of the book of Luke is not to prove to the Jew that Jesus is Messiah, it's to prove to the Gentile that he's now their God also. And that he loves them and he's compassionate toward them and he includes them. And Luke is full of compassion. Matthew is more factual and prophetic. Luke is more compassionate and showing many things. Although both of them have both, certainly. Luke shows the human side of Jesus. Let me take you to Luke chapter 9. I'm going to show you a little bit there, Luke chapter 9. And Luke emphasizes the human side of Jesus, his feelings, his conversations, his emotions, his compassion, him getting his hands dirty with people. And that's what Jesus does. As a matter of fact, Luke's term for Jesus, where John's term for Jesus is a son of God, Luke's term for Jesus is a son of man. That's what he keeps using. I'm just going to show you one chapter where he calls him the Son of Man. I'm not going to take you all the passages. It take forever, and it's just one point in the messages. But Luke chapter 9, verse 22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests. He calls himself the Son of Man. Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and his angels. The humility of Luke and the Son of Man, I'm one of you, is what is emphasized. Verse 44, and let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Verse 56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Verse 58, foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man, referring to himself, hath not where to lay his head. Do you see the humanity of Jesus in these verses? I don't have a place to lay my head down. Hey, I'm the Son of Man. He calls himself the Son of Man. Why? Luke is emphasizing the part of Jesus' life where he was common, poor, among the people, going to the Gentiles, the Good Samaritan, all these different stories of the non-Jewish people, and showing that he had that different background. 26 times in the book of Luke, he's called the Son of Man. From Luke, it's very interesting. From Luke, if you go back to Luke chapter 3 in the lineage, and we read that there. It starts verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, the son of Joseph. Notice where it starts, the lineage. And you're doing great at listening because we're getting heavy. We're going to get heavy here tonight, okay? Where does the book of Luke start in his lineage? Starts with Jesus. It starts down here on earth and goes all the way up to heaven. Notice that? The other way is reversed. The other way starts up in heaven and comes down to earth. Why? Luke is showing the Savior, the dirty hands, the grabbing the knee person and helping them, the putting his hand on somebody. It shows him in his humanity and his compassion. It shows him being this son of man. Matthew starts from Abraham up at the top and goes down to Jesus saying he's royalty. He's God in the flesh. He's this way. Why? Because God is right. I want you to understand from both sides, he is the God-man. He has all of this. He is someone to be worshipped as God. He's someone who is in all points tempted like we are, and yet without sin. Wherefore is able to succor them who are tempted. He knows what it's like to be tempted like you. He understands you, and he feels what you feel. He is portrayed throughout the Gospels and through these lineages as the God-man Jewish king. See, God is very. Jesus is very, he's the most profound, unusual creation, person, creature, God. He never was created. He's the most, of all, anything in it, he is the unique God-man, 100% God, 100% man. He's the Son of God. And so he comes down much, and so the Bible's got to show many different facets of him, because by the way, you're very hard to understand too. I can meet one person who knows you and get a picture of you, and you say, that's not all I am. That person just knows me when I'm funny. That person just knows me when I'm serious. That person just knows me when I'm mad. That's my boss. And that person just knows me when I, and so you got all these different portrayals of you, but to understand you, you have to come from a few different angles. Okay. People have a hard time understanding me if they don't see me in many different places, because I'm usually very quiet. Then I get in front of a church and preach and crack jokes and do what I do. But if you see most of the time, where my family was laughing, because whenever somebody sees me, I don't like dressing like this. Okay. Normally I'm not dressed like this. I'm usually a hands-on fixing the car, digging this up. That's me. I'm kind of physical. And so I'm usually wearing junky clothes. Because I ruin everything. The worst thing I could ever do, this morning I was doing something and I got splashed with something this morning. And so that's why I don't wear a white suit like Benny Hinn. And because I would always get it dirty. But you know, this is just a part of me. But there are people who see me in grungies. I remember pulling out the window one time, and I don't know what I was saying to the lady, and she says, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. And she looked at me and I was all grungy. She says, yeah, right. But we're like that. But try to describe God in the flesh. And so they're showing the complete picture of Jesus. Number two, Matthew is Joseph's lines, and this is so important here. Luke is Mary's line. Matthew is showing the lineage of Jesus through Joseph. Now there's so much in here, and you would not, some atheist trying to find a fault in the Bible is not going to see this, but you'll see it and you'll say, wow. God hid that from the wise and noble to show it unto babes. And it's very deep, because God says in Matthew, I'm going to stay right on line with Joseph's line. In Luke, I'm going to show you his mom and her family. But he does it very carefully, and he shows it very, very carefully in a powerful way. First of all, to understand that, you have to understand there's no Greek word for son-in-law. Okay? It's important you understand that, because they're going to go to Joseph's dad and you're going to get two different Joseph's dads. Now, some people think with Joseph's dad, what that is in the Jewish culture, if you got married and your dad, if a man got married and he died and he had kids, then he died and he had, then he would, or he didn't have kids, he could marry. The dad could get married again, or the mom, and they would have kids, and all the kids would be considered his. And it's possible, people think that Joseph's dad had two different wives. However, I don't think that's it, and I'll show you why here in the book of Luke. You don't have a word for son-in-law, and so we think that it's showing Mary's line, although they get, when it says the son of Joseph, it's the son-in-law of Joseph, and does that. Matthew emphasizes Joseph. Okay, I want to show you, we're in Luke, but let me take you back to Matthew again. We'll go Matthew to Luke, Matthew to Luke. Matthew emphasizes Joseph. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew 1 verse 18, now the birth of Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was the spouse of Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now we're talking about Joseph now. Now, remember that. Mary's pregnant. Okay, Joseph did this and this and this, and Joseph thought this. Watch, it just talks about Joseph. Not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately, but while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Name him Jesus. No, don't buy a baby book. And now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son. Verse 24, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel Lord bid him, and took Mary to his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her son. That's the Mary and Joseph episode. Now let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 1. Matthew emphasizes Joseph. Go to Luke chapter 1 and we get a whole bunch about Mary. Verse 28, the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. Now we're getting her emotions, what she's thinking. At this saying, and cast into her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And now the angel's talking to Mary. Now Matthew, we don't have Mary talking to an angel. We have Joseph. Now we have Mary's conversation with an angel, and it goes on from there. And we big long passage here. Mary said to the angel, verse 34, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" He said, "The Holy Ghost is gonna do that." And Mary, verse 38, said, Behold, thine handmaiden of the Lord, be it even according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country and made haste in the city, and so on. Mary went through this. Mary thought this. Mary felt this. Verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So Mary has the baby. And we see that. Now, look how Luke phrases something. Look at Luke 3. And let's start this genealogy again in verse 23. Now, Matthew, it doesn't do this. Matthew said, Jesus, the son of Joseph, the son of, and it just went on. Now watch what Luke does. And Jesus himself, being to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph. You notice that little parenthesis there? He said, now, as it was supposed, Jesus is the son of Joseph, but he isn't the son of Joseph. He's the son of God. He's virgin born. But Joseph was his adopted earthly father, but Joseph isn't his father. Okay? It's emphasizing not Joseph, but Mary in the book of Luke. And it goes there, and the whole family line is different. And there's reasons that God does this. It's deep, it's very powerful, and it emphasizes that. Why? Why would Luke go back and start emphasizing Mary and her line? Why does the line differ and they go up? Now they meet again, okay? They meet at David. Joseph and Mary are both from David, okay? They had to be. They both had to be. She had to be from David because Joseph was not her earthly dad. But there is more than that. Why is Mary's line important, and why do they go through and show this different line? Go back to Genesis chapter 3. See, the Bible all goes together. Fall of man, the curse comes upon man, curse comes upon Satan, the curse comes upon Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, talking to Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Everybody knows that's a messianic verse. That's Jesus. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. In other words, Jesus gets crucified and it hurts, but he crushes the works of Satan. Okay? But when the Bible talks about children, it says the son of man, the seed of man, the seed of man, the seed of man, except for Genesis 3:15. It says a seed of woman. Now, I want to tell you, when Moses wrote that in 1500, 1600 BC, Moses knew nothing of Jesus. But the seed of a woman is different than the seed of man. Why? Because there's no seed of man in her because there is no earthly daddy. He's the son of God, so he's the seed of woman. And Luke, what does Luke go back to? Adam, God. Why? Because Jesus is being shown as a seed of woman all the way back. Yes, he goes back to David on this side, and there's things in there, and we'll get to in a minute, but he also goes back to the seed of woman, and he is showing the complete picture that in Luke, he's saying, hey, this is the Savior. He's the Messiah in Matthew. He's the Savior in Luke. He's the one who is compassionate. He's the one who came forth to destroy the work of Satan. Now, Matthew is beautiful, and he also is shown as Savior. And in Luke, he's also shown as King. He's shown, he's who he is, and you can see the picture of him in all these books. But these things are showing us that God was a specific person who had two specific people. And by the way, it takes a man and a woman. Imagine that, Washington State. Okay, and God says, you know what? Both these lines are very important. She's a seed of woman. Number three, Matthew traces the biological lineage, Luke the legal lineage. Now again, we're deep here, but let me take you to Jeremiah. We are all over. Book of Jeremiah. Give me a minute to get there and explain to you something. There's a problem with Matthew's lineage is going to make Jesus, if he was crowned the king of the Jews at the time, that would make the Jews reject him. Okay? There's two different lines, okay? The lines are right, they're fine, they're good, but they go together until David, and then they split. Okay? The split is, one is Solomon, one is Nathan. Okay? Now, Solomon's line goes down. Solomon's a king, and his son's a king, Rehoboam, and his son's a king, and it goes on for a little while. Then all of a sudden, Solomon's line messes up so bad that God says, you're out of my line now. I'm done with you. You would have kept the lineage of this Messiah forever, but not anymore. You messed up too bad. I'm going over to this line of David. Those are the two lines. The first line, that's Solomon's line, which he lost. It's told in Jeremiah where it's lost. And chapter 22 and verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord. Let me wait for you to get there. Jeremiah 22 and verse 24. He's talking to a man named Jehoiakim. He's also called Coniah. Verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet I would pluck thee hence. Down to verse 30, and I'm not going to go through all the reasons for it, but they messed up. Verse 30, thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. For no man, this is a descendant of David, of his seed shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah. So that line's done. That's Joseph's line. Okay, Joseph's line, a Jewish person could have said, you know what, he's from Solomon's line, he can't be the king of the Jews. Except for Luke records what other line he comes from, Nathan's line, which is the messianic line. Okay, and so they have both of those. So that means he is, first of all, linked to David and his kingship and Solomon and the glory of Israel and through that royal lineage, but he's also got the legal lineage. It shows that he has the right to be Messiah. He has the right to be king of Israel. In both sides, no matter who goes at him, he says, hey, I get it on both sides. This is my lineage, and it takes back both sides to get rid of any argument of what they wouldn't think of. Luke is through Nathan. It's in chapter 3, verse 31. Matthew is through Solomon, Matthew 1, verse 6 and 7. This covers his right to all Jewish kingship and messiahship. Matthew is the royalty. It's the right to David directly there. There's some people, and Matthew is a very royal lineage. We're going to get to in a minute. there are people in here that are surprising that are in this in these lineages. But Matthew's got that king. He's got Solomon. He's got Rehoboam. He's got all these people. Luke has him as the savior, the lower line, but it also is the person who's the king of kings, continues to be king. And so they got the both parts of his lineage and both ways to David. He's covered on either side. Okay? You follow me? Okay, good. I don't want to lose you here. Last of all, let me just say, the genealogies show the Lord's endless mercy and power. Let's go to Matthew's lineage, Matthew chapter 1. These lineages, there's a lot of beautiful things in them. There's a lot of things that just shows that the Lord knew as he was doing. Yes, Joseph could have had two different dads. He could have had a dad who died, and then his dad got remarried, and so the same dad is, when it says Joseph's dad was this in one, and Joseph's dad was this in another. His grandpa ends up being the same one, but the dad, there is a difference. I think that they were related. I think that it all goes to the same family. I think that, but that, I think, is Luke is Mary's. Now, the genealogies show the Lord's endless mercy and power. Let's go and look in chapter 1 of Matthew and read the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Starting in Abraham, okay? Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Boy, those are well-known people. Patriarchs, we call them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas. That's Judah, by the way, but in the Greek, it's Judas is what it is. And his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zariah of Tamar. Okay, wait, let's just stop for a sec. Judas had Phares and Zara of Tamar. Okay, that's Tamar is what the name is. We're going through the Messiah's lineage here. We haven't got to David yet. We're Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's son, and now Judah. Now Judah has a son who's going to be in the lineage, okay? That son is Phares. But just wait for a sec. Matthew stops for a sec and includes a woman. Now, Jewish genealogies don't include women usually. It's through the man that the line goes, that the inheritance goes. That's just the way the Jewish culture was. But he includes a woman here. Her name's Tamar. And Tamar was used to have the next child in the lineage, okay? And by the way, Judah had other wives and other children, but God said it's going through this one, and it's this kid. Now, wait a minute. Tamar had married one of Judah's sons. The son couldn't have kids with her and died. And she went to the patriarch of the family, the dad, and said, let me marry another one of your sons. And anyway, through a long story, ends up that she gets mad at him, and she gets revenge, and she dresses up as a harlot, and she sleeps with her father-in-law and gets pregnant by him. And that child is in the lineage of the Messiah. That's not who I would have picked. A woman who dresses as a prostitute and a man who sleeps with her who should be a godly man and has a child, and you put that child in the lineage of the Messiah? But it's also the lineage of the Savior. Because the same person. See, this lineage all of a sudden says, boy, isn't God merciful? Doesn't God have a love for sinners? Isn't God showing that he can use anybody, no matter where they've been or what they've done? There's nobody above the mercy and grace of God. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and put my son in the middle of the lineage. And he didn't have, God did not, he doesn't include all the wives. But he included this one. It's the first wife he includes, Tamar. Born in fornication and adultery. And God says, yeah, put that one in the lineage. That's the mom in the lineage, the Messiah. Wow. You can read over that real quick, reading those lineages, so you can get it done, so you can get your name in the plaque, huh? And not realize, Tamar? That kid from those two? God in the lineage of Messiah? Boy, people sit there and say, God can't use me, I'm so wicked. You don't know anything about God and His grace and His mercy. Let's keep reading. In these boring lineages, verse 3, and Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And it's Tamar in the Hebrew, Greek it's Thamar, and Perez begat, and by the way, some of the misunderstandings of these names don't match up because it's the Greek, the translation's similar, but it's not the exact same name. You can see it's very similar. And Perez begat Esram, and Esram begat Amnon, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. There's another woman there. So the next woman to get in line is Rahab. Rahab's title was Rahab the Harlot. That's her name. She's called in the Bible six times. Rahab the Harlot. They went to Jericho. Rahab the Harlot came out and met the spies and saved them alive. And they said, what can we do for you? She says, save me and my family. They hang a scarlet line out the window. Let that scarlet line dangle down. By the way, the scarlet line's a picture of the blood of Christ. And you'll be saved. And they went and hung out that thing. And they saved her. And they kept her alive. Oh, but God didn't just save this harlot who helped them. He put her in the lineage of the Messiah. The second woman is a harlot. She's a prostitute. And she's in the lineage. Now, if he's going to include the women, he's not picking the movie stars. He's not picking. We got a sneaking adulteress who dresses as a prostitute and sleeps with her father-in-law, and a prostitute in the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus, God, and God chose which one every time. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. I picked that one. God picks his lineage. And someone in Israel married Rahab, and God said, yeah, let's do it through her. Let's make sure it's somebody who's in the line marries Rahab. Boy, he's naming these women. That's not who I'd have named. And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. There's another woman. Ruth was a Gentile, not a Jew. And she was a virtuous woman. But she was a Gentile. Let's continue on, see what other women God includes in here as he just goes through his line. And by the way, some of these men aren't the best either. And Obed begat Jesse. That's David's dad. And Jesse begat David, the king of the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon, awesome, of her that had been the wife of Urias. There's another woman. What's her name? It doesn't say her name, but it's Bathsheba. You know what God just points out? I just want you to know, in my lineage, David had Solomon from the wife of Uriah. Uriah, the Hittite, was a virtuous man. Bathsheba was a cheating woman. Cheated on her husband when he was out there fighting. Went with David, had a baby. Wasn't her dad? Boy, isn't God merciful? Isn't God compassionate? Doesn't God just say, you know what? I can put someone like you in the middle of my son's lineage. His mercy endureth forever. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Listen, there is no sin so great that the great God of the universe with his mercy and compassion cannot wash it away. Just some of us, just like me, happen to have had a real bad past and believe God can forgive us and just let God use us. Other people sit there in self-pity saying, oh, poor me, I've been so bad, God doesn't love me. Listen, it's you have more faith in your badness and your sin than in the power and mercy of God. And it's insulting to God. He gave his son to forgive you. He gave his son to save you. He put prostitutes and adulteresses and liars in his messianic line, and he includes them very carefully so we know it. Why did he include all the virtuous women? He wanted you to know, hey, this is the king. This is this line. This is what Jesus comes from. This is where he comes from. And I used sinners throughout that time. These lineages are amazing. They show the whole picture of Jesus. They show how God shows he's got to be Messiah and Savior. He's got to be a person who has royalty, and a person who has the kingship line, and a person of humanity, a person who starts down at the bottom and goes to the top, a person who is also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, he's God of the universe and created the universe. It is also a person who is down there with sinners and knows how they feel and loves them and is hands-on. There's a lot of things that God shows here, and these are all the things. I just want to say, every part of the Bible is inspired by God and amazing. We ought to follow the word of God. We ought to say, what a God we have. What a Savior who is complete, who has all those things we need, who has all that we need. What a book that has these details in there. What a picture of a Savior that is so good and so powerful and so right and so perfect. Boy, we should love God and love his word. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us how much you love us. Thank you for showing us just who Jesus is. Now, Lord, we know a lot of these names are the same in these two things, but you vary a little bit for some purposes. And we thank you, Lord, that we know that our Redeemer liveth. We know that Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. We thank you that you have compassion. Thank you, though, that you are perfectly holy, yet Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom we are chief. Thank you, Lord, for being all you are. Thank you. Every page of the Bible, every word is important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Help us tonight to love you. Help us tonight to be excited about your word. Help us tonight to study and carefully read the great words of God so we can see what's in there, Lord, because you put so many treasures in there. It's endless. It's profound. We thank you for it. Thank you for the difference between Matthew and Luke in these books and just the different pictures you give us. I pray tonight if there's some business we need to do with you, I pray we'd fall in love with you. I pray that we would obey you in humility and in love because of how good you are. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.